Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 13th of August, recording at 9:40 p.m. and that's British Summer Time. Now first a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, light activity, mixed markets, maybe a few more down than up today. And China had one of the bigger falls, breaking that little string of consecutive days to the upside that we had seen. Now, in Europe, a bit of seesawing, but ending with modest declines, and these are all below 1%, mostly in the one quarter to half a percent range. The Americas were mostly underwater here today. The NASDAQ nudged up just fractionally, I think helped by steady performance by Apple. The S&P though was down a little bit. And in the other markets here, let's just see, long dated government bond prices, these had been firmer in some instances, including the U.S., but then reversed those gains, closed with small losses. The U.S. dollar eased just a little bit. The precious metals were lower in here today, down about $10 to $12 on gold and also platinum. That's pulled gold back to $1,610 and platinum down to $1,388. Silver down to $2,774. So softening there, and indeed this is true right through the commodities. Crude oil, which had been higher in the morning, that slipped. The Brent got up to 115 briefly, but it's currently at 113.60 something. WTI at 92.78. I think the only exceptions in the commodity front were lumber had a small gain and cocoa had a small gain, but everything else was down. And the grain and bean complex were particularly weak. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, we've had a terrific rally since early June. It's not been a rip-roaring type of rally. When I say terrific, it's had some pretty good percentage gains. I mean, remember Wall Street, which almost wiped out its gains on the year, but the S&P's, as I speak, is up 11.65%, and the NASDAQ is up over 16%. So it's been persistent here, but we're also a little bit overbought, as we've been mentioning in these audios. And there's a fair amount of nervousness still, which is hardly surprising. There's the euro situation, which has been the focal point of attention for such a long time, the U.S. fiscal cliff, the slowdown in China, lots to be concerned about. But against that background, we also know that monetary policy is accommodative. We also know, and this does concern me a little bit in the short term, that investors are definitely anticipating further stimulus from China and other countries within the Asian region. And also, they're talking about more quantitative easing coming from the Fed. Well, if you've been listening to all these broadcasts, you know that I've felt that the Fed would dearly love to avoid doing anything additionally during this run-up to the election, and they don't want to be seen to be favoring a candidate. They don't want to do anything that's controversial, and it whatever they do is going to be controversial. So I think they're hunkered down and watching and making reassuring noises when when the Fed does speak. And thus our modestly or slightly overbought condition that we have here in the short term. Now, you have got those progressions of higher reaction lows, and these have been orderly rallies, so they stand out quite clearly. And for the S&P, which is the most important by far in terms of its global reach, the leash effect, as I call it, the last reaction low for the S&P is about 1355. 1355, that's against 1404 here right now. I will continue to give the upside the benefit of the doubt as long as the S&P doesn't take out that 1355 and break the sequence, which would indicate at least the beginning of some technical deterioration. Meanwhile, as I say, we have Wall Street steady up near its highs for the year, where we would expect some hesitation at least to occur. But overall, you know, all those European fears that I'd mentioned, well, Europe's had the best performing stock markets this month and has put on some quite strong gains. So clearly there's been a bit of a mood shift there, and one heck of a lot of short covering has also taken place. Also, if we look around the globe, a number of the ASEAN markets have been strong all along, and although they're not shooting lights out in terms of performance, they remain near their all-time highs. In Singapore, which commenced a long run to the upside last month, or a persistent run, I should say. Very good gains in Singapore, moving to a new high for the year. South Africa, we've often mentioned, has pushed strongly into new high ground. So is Mexico, although it's slipped back a little bit. And going back to beleaguered Europe, which I said had seen some of the best gains of all recently, we have Denmark with those healthcare companies helping to push it well into a new high ground for the year. So the point is, if we use commonality, and we do at Fuller Money, we have more markets breaking up above the year's previous highs, and no markets are, more importantly, no markets are breaking downwards at this time. And therefore, the August curse of the last year or so has not been repeated here, at least not yet. And in this environment, it pays generally not to look too far ahead here overall. But again, not too bad a performance, and better than most people actually expected. Now, these bond prices had steadied a little bit towards the middle of last week, and so that means that yields came down slightly, and we saw more of that here today, but not through the closes here. And I think we've seen peaks in those bond prices of at least near-term significance. And hardly before time, given the extent of the rally that they saw following their March reaction lows. Now, in terms of currency action, I mentioned that the dollar was a little softer without hitting many of the specifics, but euro's back up to 123.34. These are pretty well range-bound for the most part. We've got sterling at where are you sterling? 156.85. It's hardly changed. Aussie down a little bit from Friday's action, but at 105.23. So range bound overall, but there's no doubt that as that June rally started and through and subsequently in equities, I'm referring to now, as that June rally started, we've seen some of that risk-off attitude, which had pushed the dollar up, change in the dollar has softened against pretty well all currencies around the globe subsequently. And again, the Asian dollar index not looking at all bad, albeit within ranges. So I think this is, well, overall I would describe this as a quiet period, generally a pause now, a lull. That's hardly surprising, and owes something to the dog days of August, as they sometimes call it. Now, precious metals. Endless ranging here. The gold pattern looks a little bit, well, it's taken on a ascending triangular shape. That means within the range, we've got more or less flat highs near the upper side of the range, and we've got gradually rising lows, suggesting that demand is increasing, suggesting that it's more likely to be under accumulation than distribution. But we still haven't been able to break out of this range. Now, getting into late August, September, those are seasonally bullish for precious metals, or at least they have been within this secular bull cycle. And a lot of people are looking for that to occur again, and I'm among them. But when you're in a range and all not all that far away from the reaction lows within what's been a lengthy medium-term correction, there are inevitably some frayed nerves around in this market. And platinum, which has dipped in the last couple of days, that's not all that far from its lows. In the pecking order of performance, gold definitely looks the steadiest overall, followed by silver, and platinum and palladium lagging, as people tend to think of them as being more industrial metals than precious metals, although I'm very much in the camp that says that platinum especially is fully deserving of its precious metal status, and therefore I regard it as a hard money asset, even though central banks hold little if any platinum. Ditto for silver, but they usually tend to track gold, and often with a higher beta. Certainly silver has a higher beta. Okay, what else to mention? These grains and beans. I said there was quite a sharp reaction in here today, and I don't think it was quite a limit down move, but it was down 43 cents here for soybeans. They are definitely encountering resistance near those historic highs. Owen pointed out some key day reversals last week, and we've had a bit of follow through in here today. It would be good news if we got some respite in terms of the higher prices for the grain and bean complex, but I'm a little wary of forecasting that they'll go much lower here, given the crop damage that's actually occurred. And we're not going to get any significant crop news now for a few more months. And oil. Brent, this move suggests a fair amount of speculative demand. I don't think the rally all the way back up to 115 is justified fundamentally, but it has been something of a momentum move. There is concern over whether or not there's going to be a strike against Iran's nuclear facilities. I get asked this all the time, and my guess is that that's not going to happen for at least the short term, but it's a sufficiently big risk to make it understandable that some people would want to do this. Obviously, the U.S. isn't going to do anything about Iran here prior to the election, and I'd be surprised if the Israelis did as well. It's too big a risk. Even if they succeeded, could so easily turn into a Pyrrhic victory, given all the political implications. So weigh it all up, and I feel that this Brent move is not underpinned by supply and demand factors here. But if I'm wrong on that, and if we see this for, well, if Brent continues to push higher for whatever reason, that will cause more problems in terms of GDP growth. So let's hope that doesn't happen. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.